Abraham Sipar Bradhikachara Sotera Sita Sri Shimnasalayan Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Chari Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Ranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 7. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, text 44. Svacha prakrita snigdo Madhurya stirtha burnirnam Muni punatyapam mitram Iksho pasparsha kirtanai Svacha prakrita snigdo Madhurya stirtha purnirnam Muni punatyapam mitram Iksho pasparsha kirtanai Svacha prakrita snigdo Madhurya stirtha purnirnam Muni punatyapam mitram Iksho pasparsha kirtanai Vaishnavis. Pure. Prakritita. By nature. Snigdha. Soft or soft-hearted. Madhurya. Sweet or gentle speech. Tirthabhu. A place of pilgrimage. Mrinam. For human beings. Muni, a sage. Punati, sanctifies. Apam, of the water. Mitram, the exact counterpart. Iksha, by being seen. Upasparsha, by being respectfully touched. Kirtanai, and by being glorified verbally. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O King, a saintly person is just like water, because he is free from all contamination, gentle by nature, and by speaking creates a beautiful vibration like that of flowing water. Just by seeing, touching, or hearing such a saintly person, the living entity is purified, just as one is cleansed by contact with pure water. Thus a saintly person, just like a holy place, purifies all those who contact him, because he always chants the glories of the Lord. Purport. The words apam mitram, just like water, can also be read as akhan mitram, which means that a saintly person purifies all living entities by accepting them as mitram, or his personal friends, and he saves them from their sinful reactions, akhat. The conditioned living entity falsely identifies with his gross material body and subtle mind, and thus falls from the platform of spiritual knowledge. A conditioned living being is always lusty for material sense gratification, and if he does not acquire it, he becomes angry. Sometimes he is so obsessed with fear of losing his material gratification that he enters the stage approaching madness. A saintly person, however, is like pure water, free from all contamination, incapable of purifying all things. Just as pure water is transparent, a saintly person transparently manifests the personality of Godhead within his heart. Such love of Godhead is the reservoir of all happiness. Water makes a most pleasing vibration as it flows in cascades, and similarly the sound vibration of the Lord's pure devotee, who is saturated with the glories of the Lord, is most charming and beautiful. Thus, by studying the nature of water, one can understand the symptoms of a pure devotee. Om Gyanatim Nandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksunitam Yanitasma Shri Kriti Namaha Vanchako Patrubhischa Kribasindhu Vihabacha Patitano Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna. Well, thank you all for being here, and again, our welcome to Radhana Swami Maharaj. Very grateful for him, and we did offer to let him give class, but he's very humbly is listening, as the rest of you, and I am sorry for the disappointment that many of you are feeling. I'll do my best to try to say something about the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's actually a very beautiful verse. These are some verses by the Avadhuta Brahman, and he's describing the different gurus, 24, 25 gurus, and he's gone through some different comparisons, and now he's talking about some of the elements. I think yesterday he talked about ether and wind, and tomorrow's fire, and today the comparison is there to water, and how the saintly person is compared to water. In reading this verse in purport, I was thinking like four ways that are mentioned here of how the devotee, the pure devotee, the great saint, can be compared to water. First of all, the devotee is very pure, like water, or transparent, with no material contamination, no material blemish. Secondly, the devotee is capable of purifying others of their sinful reactions, as the water purifies. Also, the devotee's presence is very pleasing, just like the presence of water is very pleasing when we're around bodies of water, oceans, rivers, things like that. It's a very pleasant experience. And of course, just that presence of the devotee similarly makes everyone happy. And also, the devotee's speech is very pleasing. Just like the sound of water gives a pleasing sound when you're by a stream or a river or the ocean surf, the words of the great devotee are similarly pleasing, you know, for everyone. So the devotee is very pure. Water, of course, is a purifying agent, and the term mentioned in his purport was transparent via medium. Of course, Prabhupada used this several times, talked about the guru being the transparent via medium. In other words, one who, because they're very pure, Krishna can come through and can give Krishna to the conditioned souls. I just I found this very nice not a verse, but this nice paragraph where Srila Prabhupada uses this, and apparently the expression was used by his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, so that's the origin of this term transparent via medium. Somehow or another, when I was a new devotee, that term always was fascinating to me. I thought it was such a wonderful expression. Anyway, Prabhupada said, and this is from the Science of Self-Realization, Chapter 8, my spiritual master used to say, the spiritual master is the transparent via medium. For example, I can see the letters of this book very nicely through these transparent eyeglasses, without which I cannot see because my eyes are defective. Similarly, our senses are all defective. We cannot see God with these eyes. We cannot hear Hare Krishna with these ears. We cannot do anything without the via medium of the spiritual master. Just as the defective eye cannot see without the via medium of spectacles, one cannot approach the transparent Lord without the transparent via media of the spiritual master. Transparent means that the via medium must be free from contamination. If it is transparent, one can see through it. So thus, we are actually able to see Krishna or know about Krishna or hear about Krishna due to the presence of the Guru. The Guru's transparency or purity reflects Krishna through him and enables us to also approach Krishna in that way. And so, as a devotee advances, they become more and more pure. Krishna can more and more purely reflect through us. In fact, I was thinking of a couple of verses here that describe the Uttam Adhikari, or one who is on that highest platform of spiritual knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45, it says, pure devotional service sees one who is on the platform of pure devotional service sees systematically everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. In the Nectar of Instruction, the Uttam Adhikari, or the pure the great devotees, is described as one whose heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize. So thus, this purity or transparency is a very, very important quality for an advanced devotee or saintly personality. So not only is water pure in itself, but it also is purifying. It has the ability to purify other things. And of course, we know we use water in yajnas, we use in deity worship, we do achman. What is the verse they always begin? Any fire sacrifice, any jaga, om pavitram, pavitrava, this pavitram, which means purifying, or that which purifies, and depending upon the way the Sanskrit is used. But water is pavitra, that which purifies. So this is a known quality of water. Now, it's kind of interesting that this purport mentioned that one who is absorbed in material sense gratification becomes very angry if one doesn't acquire it. One has great fear of losing material things, and therefore his material gratification, he enters a stage approaching madness. I was thinking, well, that might be a little strong. But yes, we can see that the materialist becomes mad for satisfying one's desires and can become very angry and very fearful with that loss, and therefore can become mad, or we might call it mentally disturbed or psychotic or whatever the more current term might be. I found it was interesting, and I couldn't find the source. If anybody knows, let me know if there's an actual reference to this. But I had heard, this is Srila Prabhupada said, that one of the cures for insanity or madness is for someone to sit in the Ganges or a flowing river. In other words, one would sit up in the waist in a flowing river, and that flowing river is very, very purifying. Anybody heard that? Confirm that?
Maybe 20 slokas before that, on this chapter.
Oh, it does say it here. Okay. It does say, okay, good. All right, confirmed. So anyway, the water is very, very purifying, even to the degree that it can purify somebody who is psychotic even, because it has that kind of ability. So in the same way, the pure devotee has that ability to cure us of the material disease or the insanity of thinking we're this body and trying to enjoy in this material world. And that purifying process is very, very important. And that's a quality that advanced devotees have. Here's another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.52 in the purport. This is about Maharaj Prithu. Prabhupada says, in this verse, Maharaj Prithu is likened to the sun, Arkavat. Sometimes the sun shines on stool, urine, and so many other polluted things. But since the sun is all-powerful, it is never affected by the polluted things with which it associates. On the contrary, the sunshine sterilizes and purifies polluted and dirty places. Moving a little bit away from the water to sun, but same idea. Similarly, a devotee may engage in so many material activities, but because he has no desire for sense gratification, they never affect him. On the contrary, he dovetails all material activities for the service of the Lord. Since a pure devotee knows how to utilize everything for the Lord's service, he is never affected by material activities. Instead, by his transcendental plans, he purifies such activities. So again, the pure devotee is able to purify everything around him by his transcendental qualities. We saw, of course, many examples of this in the scriptures. Narada Muni, when he's in his previous life as a son of a maidservant, just by association with the Mahabhagavats, the great devotees, or Bhaktivedantas, who stayed during the rainy season, where his mother was a maidservant, said by that association and taking the remnants of foodstuffs from them, he became completely purified. First, long story, so many austerities, meditation, and then eventually attained the position of Narada Muni, you know, one of the greatest, most pure devotees in our Sampradaya. So, again, the power of purification that's there. Now, as mentioned here, through our contact with the material world and through the acquisition of so many material desires, we also perform sinful activities. And those sinful activities need to become purified for us to advance in Krishna consciousness on the path back home, back to Godhead. So that relief of sinful activities through the relationship with the pure devotee, with your advanced devotees of the Lord, that comes about during the process of initiation. So in a lecture Srila Prabhupada said August 1971 in London, says, by this initiation, by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, your sinful activities will be counteracted undoubtedly. So at the time of initiation, the sinful activities are counteracted. Of course, Prabhupada said, but don't commit again. So it's not that we, you know, the sin and confess idea, not that we have our sinful reactions counteracted, then we go and do whatever we want. No, one gives vows to the spiritual master not to commit sinful activity from that point onward. And therefore, the spiritual master is able to help this conditioned soul to become free and to become purified and advance in Krishna consciousness from that platform. So, of course, we're talking about the presence of the spiritual master. We also understand from Prabhupada and from our scriptures that we have two concepts, Vani and Vapu. And we know that Vani, the words of the spiritual master, are considered to be the most important because they are eternal, they're always there. You may not always have the presence of your spiritual master, but you always can hear the words, instructions. In the case of Srila Prabhupada, we have an amazing, amazing amount of lectures, books, words, morning walks, videos, so many ways that we can connect with Srila Prabhupada. But at the same time, that vapu, or personal association, is also very, very powerful. As which has been mentioned here, the presence of the guru or the presence of the spiritual master is a incredibly strong purifying agent in our path back to Godhead. I was thinking of my own personal experience with meeting Srila Prabhupada, which was New Vrindavan, 1972, right after Janmashtami Vyas Puja. It's a very long story, which I will skip, but anyway, and Trini and I ended up driving from Illinois to Washington State, all the way back to New Vrindavan. We came to New Vrindavan. We had no idea Srila Prabhupada was there. By the way, Radhana Swami was also there. I remember seeing you, 1972, there. And actually, many devotees were there. How many people were there in New Vrindavan in 72? Okay, Purva was there. You know, Pushkar. I think Kripa Sindhu was there. Anyway, hundreds of devotees were there. But somehow or another, we found our way there just by chance. Pure luck. No. Obviously, we know that by the mercy of Krishna, one is given guru. By the mercy of guru, one is given Krishna. Somehow, Krishna guided us to find this place up in the hills of West Virginia, walk in the temple room, exactly when 2 minutes before Srila Prabhupada walked in to give the evening Bhagavad Gita class. And they had just installed the deities in Bhulaban, right? Reinstalled them there when that temple was opened. And so this was our first meeting with Srila Prabhupada. I think we had read the Bhagavad Gita and Nectar Devotion. First book I ever got was Nectar Devotion. You know, of course, I understood it thoroughly, especially the last several chapters. No, although it was bewildering in many ways, somehow we accepted it as being, this must be something really far out and absolutely, you know, wonderful and amazing if I could only understand it. Bhagavad Gita I understood a little better. Kind of got the philosophy, got some grasp on it after reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. At any rate, so we had some understanding, but we'd never met Srila Prabhupada. Well, can we see Srila Prabhupada? Not being familiar so much with his accent and not that familiar with philosophy, we didn't understand a lot of what he said. But the presence of Srila Prabhupada was so powerful. It had such a dramatic effect on our hearts that we kind of walked after a class, looked at each other and said, this is it. This is the philosophy. We're going to join the movement. This is our spiritual master. This is our guru. Silver. And that applause, of course, is for Srila Prabhupada. It is, because it's the power of Srila Prabhupada, his incredible presence. And, you know, it's like, you know, I get talking about Srila Prabhupada, and I say all these same stories and things, so I'm sorry. But, you know, it's very hard not to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And one thing about the presence of Srila Prabhupada, and the presence of all great devotees, it's not easily explained or seen. Like, when you watch a video of Srila Prabhupada, you don't quite get it. I mean, you hear the words, and you get the philosophy. You understand his purity and his complete, explanations of the Vedas. But Prabhupada's presence was something amazing and magical that it's very hard to express, you know. But and it really is that moment's association with him just changes your heart, changes your life forever. And so that is the quality. It's there in these great saintly personalities. So the presence of the guru is very pleasing, just like the presence of water is very pleasing. People, how many people like to go to the ocean or the springs or be by, you know, flowing water? Most of us, right? It's a nice feeling. Water has that ability, especially flowing water. You know, it does something for us. It's very aesthetically pleasing, but there's actually a scientific reason. It's called negative ions. Hey, this is a little bonus that you get in this class. You know, you're going to get to learn about negative ions. Anyway, when molecules, they kind of break up and they lose an electron or they gain an electron, so they're often positively or negatively charged. Now, negative ions are actually very nice because they give us a feeling of well-being and happiness. And what they do is have something to do with the suppression of serotonin levels. They work kind of like an antidepressant. In fact, some of the research has shown that negative ion therapy is almost as effective as taking an antidepressant. Now, where do you find negative ions? Running water, waterfalls, ocean surf. We're going back to water here. You know, that has this very powerful effect. In fact, normal air has about 2,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter. That's very tiny. There's lots and lots of these around. In a polluted city, there's practically none, or maybe a few negative ions. And if you're next to a waterfall, you're getting 100,000 negative ions per centimeter. So in other words, water is very powerful. You're running water, where it's rippling, or by the ocean where the surf is coming. Like that gives us this feeling of well-being. Now, it's interesting because you can't really detect that. You can through instruments, you can, but we don't sense negative ions. You know, we don't feel them particularly, but yet they have a very purifying effect. A lot of people have these air purifiers that have their ionizers, right? That's commonly used because what it does is the negative ions connect with the positive ions, which are bad, which are dirty, and they neutralize them to kind of make them fall down as they're not in your air anymore. So just like it's undetected, but it's working to purify those spiritual qualities of the pure devotee, almost undetectedly, are purifying everything. They're purifying the world. you know, the words and the chanting of the pure devotee has this purifying effect. And it's not something you can really measure easily or even see easily, but it's there. You experience the spiritual qualities. I was thinking of a couple examples here. You know, George Harrison once stated that Srila Prabhupada was the best musician in the world. Well, I mean, Prabhupada was a wonderful musician, right? I mean, his chanting, the mridanga, everything was really, really wonderful. But I'm thinking, was he materially the best musician in the world? I don't know. But why did George Harrison say that? Because his chanting was the most pure. Because the purity of his chanting had that effect that he was the best musician because he had the most spiritual effect through his chanting. You know, so it is a fact. He, in that sense, he was. Also, I thought of another example. I was at this japa retreat many years ago up in New York that Satchinanda Swami was doing. And for some reason, you know that very famous chanter, kirtan person, Krishnadas? You know, everyone knows him, right? He does a bunch of albums, and he's very famous, right? And, you know, he has a great voice, and he's real good materially. I don't think he's even a Vaishnava, is he? You know, Maharaj. But I don't know if he's even a Vaishnava. Maybe he is. But, you know, he's not a particularly a devotee, but he is a wonderful chanter. Anyway, somehow he was around there, and they invited him. And so after we were through the japa retreat, Satchinanda Swami, and they were all sitting down to chant. Badahari was there. You know, there were some really nice, there were some very, very nice kirtan leaders. And after Satchinanda Swami chanted, Krishnadas said he didn't really want to chant. He actually felt intimidated because of the purity of the devotees chanting. He actually could sense it, even though he was probably materially and, you know, musically better than anybody. He actually knew and sensed that he did not have the same, wasn't on the same spiritual platform. I think he finally did chant, but he was actually almost didn't want to. He said, how can I follow that, you know? So this is the quality of advanced devotees, that they have a spiritual quality that you can sense, that you can feel, and it affects us very strongly, you know, even if we can't see exactly what it is materially. So the last point is the sound of water is very pleasing, you know, bubbling brooks and all that. I don't know. I'm sure there's, you know, poets have written all kinds of things about streams and rivers and, you know, the beauty of the sound of the water. And, of course, the words of a saintly person are also very beautiful and very pleasing, and they inspire one to devotional service. They inspire one to surrender, to understand Krishna consciousness, and come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So, this is from, who's BVT? I can tell everybody I know. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Jayavadharma, one who occasionally chants Krishna's names is a Kanishtha Vaishnava. One who constantly chants Krishna's name is a Madhyama Vaishnava. An Uttama Vaishnava spontaneously inspires others to chant Krishna's names by his very presence. Yeah. So the presence of the Uttamadhikari, the advanced devotee of the Lord, and his chanting inspires everyone to chant. And we saw that with Srila Prabhupada. His words, his chanting inspired everyone to surrender. You know, when he sat down in Tompkins Square Park and started chanting and playing his cartels, people came. People were inspired. When he spoke from the storefront there in New York and later, of course, from so many other venues, people were inspired. People became devotees. They wanted to surrender. They wanted to give their lives to Krishna and Prabhupada. So those words of the spiritual master are like that. And we know, not only are they just speaking the truth, which in itself, of course, is very, very important, but they also have that quality of being pleasing in that they change one's heart. They inspire us from within the heart. You know, and of course, I only had a few occasions to be with Srila Prabhupada, 6 or 7 times in my life at a few different places. But we always remember everything Srila Prabhupada said, and if he said, you know, 1 or 2 words to us. You know, I mean, my conversations with Srila Prabhupada had to do with, you know, bringing him ice cream and him liking it and asking me to bring ice cream every night. But of course, I take credit for it. Mother Mantrini made it, of course. He liked it very much because She made mango ice cream, you know, which of course he really enjoyed, even though she doesn't like mango, but you do for your guru, you want to please the guru. And so, you know, it's like, okay, so my personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada was two or three sentences around ice cream. Will I remember those words every day for the rest of my life? Of course. Right? I mean, those are, you know, to me, those are like, you know, that's a highlight of my life. You know, because just a few words from the spiritual master, or pleasing the spiritual master, a few kind words, we just take with us forever. Because that is our process. When Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. We approach Krishna through the Guru. We can't approach Krishna directly. We sort of approach Krishna directly when we're fortunate enough to be on the altar, perhaps serving them. But generally speaking, we don't approach, and even then, we approach to the Guru, right? We first offer to the Guru, we acknowledge the Guru before we do any deity service even. So service is always through the Guru, you know, and through the Guru to his Guru, to his Guru, his or her Guru, sorry, political, all the way back to Krishna, through the parampara system, through the disciplic succession. So, you know, we know that this is how we please Krishna, by pleasing the Guru, and the Guru, on his end, is very pleasing in his presence, in his words, in his chanting, and is able to attract many, many people to Krishna consciousness. You know, so, very, very wonderful example here, or analogy of the water. And the Avadhuta Brahman is teaching us how we can learn through all of these different elements and through all these different processes. It's really it's a very interesting chapter, actually, because in once, I mean, not only is he giving us specific instructions of understanding saintly persons, but it's also showing us how we can get spiritual lessons in many ways, right? We can see Krishna. You know, there's that little book I always like. It's called Seeing Krishna Everywhere and Always. No, that's a chapter, isn't it? It's On the Way to Krishna. It's one of those little books. Anyway, there's a chapter in it called Seeing Krishna Everywhere and Always. And it's a lecture from Prabhupada, and he talks about, you know, how you can see that Krishna is the taste in water, and goes through some of those different analogies, which are there, I think it's mostly from the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, about how we can understand Krishna, and seeing Krishna by observing in the material elements. So this is the purpose of an analogy. Analogy is that you explain something more complex by comparing it with something more simple. You know, something you can all understand. Everyone can understand running water, but understanding the power and the words and the effect of the guru, of the spiritual master, or the saintly personality, a little more difficult. But this gives us a way that we can relate to and thus understand a little better and more clearly in a very vivid way. So, very, very nice chapter here that has so many of these wonderful analogies of how we can help to understand, not just the saintly person, but spiritual life in general is talked about in this way. Okay. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'll quit at that point, Hare Krishna, and invite any comments or questions. We actually have the presence of two exalted Maharajas, Radha Swami and Bhakti Damodar. Bhakti Prabhupada Rata Damodar Swami. Do you care to, either of you, add something? Anything you'd like to add? Thank you. Okay. Maharaj, anything you'd like to say?
I mean, also that book that was prepared.
The chapter of Vrindavan in Autumn, that one? Yeah.
It's just filled with amazing, amazing, profound analogies, the whole chapter. We don't have time to review it, but it's hard. And then there was that book that was these drawings. Chinese artist, the
yeah.
very famous artist.
The Light of the Bhagavad, yeah.
And I understood that Prabhupada prepared that book because he was going to preach in Japan. And he never, for some reason, he fell through. Yeah. I don't think he ever left India before we came to rescue us. I just want to mention that.
Yeah, that is a very wonderful chapter. This one talks about like the glow worms and you know all the different analogies are given in that. Is it chapter 23 of 10?
20.
20 something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? We have a. Okay, why don't we go over to the ladies' side?
Thank you. So this point about the potency of the pure devotees chanting, well, I think we'll all admit that we find many chanters very inspiring and pleasing, although in their daily life, I would hardly describe them as having symptoms of pure devotees, but yet their chanting is uplifting and, you know, it's very pleasing, not mm-hmm. only to me, but I think many, many people are pleased. So how do we explain that?
Well, of course, that's somewhat subjective. I mean, there are many people with material talents, and of course, the more they're using Krishna's service, the more effective it is. And, you know, when a person is chanting Hare Krishna, you know, it's probably they are in somewhat of a advanced stage. You know, in other words, that brings out the best in us, I would say. So often, even if a person isn't so strict in their, you know, in their sadhana or whatever, when they're chanting, you know, there is potency in the holy name. You know, and so that does come through. However, I guess my editorial comment on that is I personally find that it is more pleasing when more advanced devotees are chanting. You know, that you do, you sense that. You say, and I'm going to get in trouble here. Okay, I'll say it anyway. There are many, many devotees chant very nicely who are on different levels and platforms. But, you know, sometimes you get the feeling that there's also this idea of entertaining or performance sometimes when one is not so advanced. And I find that's not so pleasing. Many people find that if it's more performance oriented. But if a person is sincerely chanting, you know, then it's very nice, you know. And it does make a difference. I mean, someone like Madhava Prabhu, I've had many talks with him about chanting and stuff, and like at least at one time, a couple years ago, he told me he won't lead a kirtan until he's finished his 16 rounds. So, you know, there's some potency there. You know, you feel a person who has some spiritual advancement and happens to materially be very, you know, musically talented. It's a very wonderful, nice combination. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Ragatmika?
You spoke of the potency of the presence of the pure devotee, the words of the pure devotee, and you specifically mentioned Srila Prabhupada. That is, you were describing the vapu.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to underline also the that same potency is available to everyone here now and hereafter, also in his vani, in his books, in his lectures, kirtans, like that. So to take full advantage of that and
yes.
to approach, when reading his books, one can pray to have that presence,
yes.
experience that presence.
That's such an important concept, and in fact, the GBC sort of enshrined that principle in Resolution 303 in 2013, about the, well, I just taught the disciples course, and you know, we use that a lot because that, you know, the idea of the, position of Srila Prabhupada, and we quote from that a lot because, I thought it was a wonderful statement about the position of Srila Prabhupada. And one thing it says in there is that every member of ISKCON, whether you're a direct disciple or not, has access to Srila Prabhupada, can have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. You know, that there's no barrier to having a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Now, that doesn't mean that he can be your guru. You know, you have to, you know, there's a process. where you have, you know, where we follow, where you have the living guru. But, you know, you can have relationship with the Param Guru, you know. In fact, Prabhupada says sometimes the grandfather is more kind than the father. So everyone can have a relationship. And I hear many young devotees, people who weren't even born when Srila Prabhupada was around, have relationships with Srila Prabhupada or dreams about Srila Prabhupada. Anybody can have this relationship. And by the way, a very little known fact, which will probably embarrass him, but that wonderful paper that the GBC accepted, at least the first draft of it was largely written by Radhanaswami and Anuttama, right? Radhanaswami Anutta wrote that, and I think it's one of the best things we've done, you know, as a GBC, because it just makes the position of Prabhupada so clear, you know, that he is the, you know, preeminent Shiksha Guru, the founder Acharya, and will be there for all of us for thousands of years as long as this movement is going. Well, thanks for mentioning that. Did we have one back? Should go back to the man here, I guess. Okay, then we'll go back to... all right, I think... Krishna Smile.
You are very fortunate. Last year, the Prabhupada song at this particular time, 1965, where everything was recorded. So the originality cannot be affected. And that I realized that by looking at Srila Prabhupada's movie that was recorded by you, it brings me the closest replica of divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the murti.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at Srila Prabhupada's feet, I can actually see and also offer that own reverence.
Yeah.
The nobility of, you know, who he really is. So I just wanted to make a comment that we could have Srila Prabhupada's feet here more regularly. It will create a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, every Sunday we have Srila Prabhupada give class.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we used to always show those following Srila Prabhupada in a lot of the videos. We were watching those. Okay. Thank you. That's an excellent point. And, yeah, Vani and Vapu, actually. Okay, I think Vegavati had a... Oh, and well, Purva and Vegavati are next, one of them. Whoever you're close to.
I have two questions.
Lift it up.
I heard exactly... Maybe I missed it. What were those words
that said about your wife's Okay, here's the short version of the story. We made the ice. She'd made ice cream for Prabhupada before, I think, in Miami and Detroit a couple of times, and he'd seemed to like it. And so we made the ice cream. This is in Potomac, and I came there. And of course, you know, you got to get through. It was always like, you know, the running the gauntlet, you know, of all the sannyasis and secretaries trying to get to Srila Prabhupada. Well, you know, but anyway, somehow or another, I think Hari Sari was there. Anyway, we said we had ice cream for him, and the door was open, and Prabhupada was sitting there. And they said, well, he just has some ice cream that they flew in from New Vrindavan on dry ice made with from the devotee cow's milk. Okay, I have no way I can compete with this. I'm not even going to get in the door. You know, and Prabhupada said, well, there's more ice cream for Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, oh, what flavor? And I said, mango. And he goes, oh, bring it in. The mango did it, you know. And so, Srila Prabhupada ate the ice cream. And he said, this one is the best. And he said, this is better than Bengali ice cream. Because I've never known Bengali be known for ice cream. I expected Jerusalem with it. I said, what do you think he meant? He says, what do you think he meant Bengali sweets in general? I mean, they make this kulfi, but you know. Anyway, that seemed like a pretty good compliment, saying it's better than Bengali ice cream. And then he said, bring it every night. Anyway, that's what he said. So, anyway, again, you know, one of my, you know, very, very profound, deep discussions with Srila Prabhupada, but Very, very sweet. Oh, by the way, he also asked me what the ingredients were. Now, I'd gone out and bought them, right? And what is it? It's four things. Milk, cream, mangoes, and sugar, right? And that's about it. And so I went totally blank. You know that expression of feeling like a fool before your spiritual master? I didn't feel like one. I was. Total fool. You know, I just went into like this brain freeze. Took me about, it felt like, it was probably all of 15 seconds, but it felt like forever. And finally I recalled and came to my, and I said, oh yeah, milk, cream, ice cream, mango. He said, oh, very good. Anyway, that was it. That was the whole fast.
We have those, what is it, three or four, I don't know, basic tenets. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, purity is the force.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
This utility is the principle.
Yeah. So, in regards to the discussion that we've had afterwards, can you say a little bit about purity as a force and about how that can be implemented?
Well, that's a big one, and we're almost out of time. Purity, obviously, we see this is one of the most distinguishing characteristics when we're talking about saintly personalities or the guru. It's you know, we even use the word pure devotee, right? In other words, you know, purity is, you know, is really the essence. I mean, it is the, nothing goes on without it. Otherwise, if we don't have purity, it's cheating, right? I mean, purity is really what is needed. And of course, it comes from Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was effective and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world because of his purity and his allegiance to the instructions of his guru and Lord Chaitanya. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, for ourselves, we're striving for purity. You know, we start with the basic principles that are our initiation vows, and those at least give us a platform of some relative purity. Although, in itself, it's not Krishna conscious. You know, in other words, one could be following the principles and being an atheist, you know. But generally, it puts one in the mode of goodness, which gives one the opportunity to become more purified. And therefore, and the purifying process is basically hearing and chanting, right? You know, it's, you know, because, you know, after, you know, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, then comes Bhajana Kriya, which is the process of hearing and chanting, which leads to Anartha Nivritti. And Anartha Nivritti is the purifying process, right? Where the Anartas are being destroyed. All of the dust accumulated within the heart, you know, is being destroyed, you know. And so, the more that we take to that process of our Bhajana Kriya, of the hearing and chanting, the nine process of devotional service, the more the heart becomes purified. You know, and it's just a gradual process, depending upon, you know, how much dirt there is in there to shovel out. You know, I mean, we can, of course, do more to help that process along, you know, through our adherence to Srila Prabhupada, to the instructions, to how, you know, the degree of our chanting and reading, hearing, all of that. Yeah. Okay. That's a shorter answer. Anything else? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. You inspired me with your ice cream story. I want to tell the one personal instruction that I got from Srila Prabhupada.
Sure, please do.
He had come to Honolulu, and I was at that time living on another island. So myself and a friend flew over, and we were staying outside the temple, so coming every day for guru puja and class. And then the last day, we went to the temple, and we heard that Srila Prabhupada had left and already gone to the airport. So somehow or another, we got ourselves to the airport, but we didn't know which gate. So we came in, and then they said, that way. So we go running as fast as we could that way. And then we came here, and Prabhupada and his party were coming towards us perpendicularly. So Sylvia and I just bowed down on the airport floor. When Srila Prabhupada walked by, he looked at Jai. I was just reflecting on that and thinking, I'm still outside. It every time to the temple. Usually I'm late, but I haven't given up trying after 40 plus years, so that's the conclusion of Prabhupada's word.
And that was one, depending on how you spell it, three or four letter word, which you remember and are telling us today because it was so inspiring to you. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Regarding this purity is the force, a vivid example is Srila Prabhupada's translation of the Bhagavad Gita. Prior to that, there were many editions of the Bhagavad Gita circulating in the world, but there was not a society of Krishna Bhaktas in the West. And it was Srila Prabhupada's translation that actually inspired people to become devotees of Krishna.
Absolutely. And Prabhupada said Bhagavad Gita as it is. You know, the pure words without change. And Prabhupada would say that without, he says that's kind of like his claim to fame was that I have not changed. I've given Krishna purely.
When we hear that the words from the lotus mouth of the pure devotee are mixed with the saffron dust particles of Krishna's lotus feet, is that just a poetic? Or how? And then how is that related to the recorded sound? Are the dust particles coming through the tape recorder? Yeah. what do you know?
Okay, I have no idea.
Okay. I can.
That one was beyond my level of realization. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.